Hello and welcome to the Untitled Queer Podcast. You know, one of those potty thingies that I hear so much about. Well, I am your host, Cammy, and with me is, you know, out with the old and in with the new, they always say, my good friend Mabel.
Hey, I'm Mabel, I am the artist formerly known as Stephanie.
Yeah, are we going to have to, like, credit you with, like, a really complicated symbol?
Sure, maybe, I don't know.
We'll make you, like, that black metal logo that's just, like, the wrinkles and, like, the headrest of a chair.
Oh my god. But yeah, no, I changed my name, sort of. I'm going by my middle name. I didn't actually change my name. My name's still... I'm going by my middle name now, so.
Wow, so there's, like, an Onion article written about you.
I hate you.
Wow, are you, like, do you, like, know Mike Drucker?
Oh my god. I know of Mike Drucker. I know he is a human who exists.
Well, I'm glad. This is a very interesting episode because... It's been 2 weeks since we've just been all by our lonesome. I mean, I was by my lonesome the first week, but at least I had, a member of the nation along to nerd out about pop punk. Now we're back in our stride. We'll be bringing up nerdy garbage today.
Yee!
But yeah, it's been a little while. Honestly, every time we record, it feels like it's been more than a week, and I'm like, wait, how long has it been? Did I miss a week? And I'm totally, we have not, thank God.
No, we have not, actually. So, it's been so long, it's been a week, Cam. It's been a week.
It's been a fucking week, though. You know?
Okay, that's fair. It was a really bad week for me.
Well, I mean, we could get into that, because... Yeah, because, I mean, like, my week would be like, yeah, I was just, like, kind of sad for, like, no reason. So you got some soup to spill. I've been told it's not tea anymore, it's soup.
Oh, that's an interesting change. God, I feel old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, it was a rough week.
Yeah, but it's been a week if you allow me to, you know, be your mouthpiece. You've been, you know, a lot of change and a lot of good change.
Yeah, I have like I said on previous podcasts, I got new wardrobe, dyed all my hair, got a nose ring, going by Mabel now, but also I got on psychiatric meds for bipolar, so yay! I've only been on them for a few days now, so they haven't, like, you know, they take a bit to start working, mm-hmm. So, like, they're not quite working yet, but hopefully, here's hoping, it'll be really great, because it has not been a good week.
Yeah. Yes, but that's, again, that's, like, just a whole other, you know, thing. I don't know. Yeah. All my astrology friends would be like, oh, it's because it's, like, I know it's Pisces season right now, so I think it's, like, everybody's, like, in flux.
Oh, of course, because that means something.
I mean, hey, if the stars done did a rotation.
If the stars done did a rotation.
Are you laughing at that? Because you support the Cheeto Man. The Cheeto Man doesn't like astrology.
What the fuck? Yeah, many people don't like astrology.
That's fair.
It's not a unique position to hold.
That's I'll take that into consideration in the 2020 election.
And I don't, like, dislike astrology. I just don't care for it.
Care.
It's not like. Like, it's not my thing. I don't believe it, but I don't go out of my way to be like, oh, I'm going to go be a dick to that person over there for putting their sign in their bio. Like,
I'm going to be a dick to that person, that white lady over there for the confusing symbol on our Twitter. But yeah,
Goddamn.
I don't know. Okay, this is like a minor detour. But yeah, there has been like development in where I'm living. So now there's like a like legit like trans like center of a hospital wing. So now I can like if I wanted to, I could go and get like voice training or like other like taking more steps kind of stuff. So that's pretty
I'm
sick.
sorry, you cut out. I couldn't hear what you just said. Shit.
Shit. That's fucked up. Is my voice sounding fucked up right now?
Yeah, a little.
Ugh. Just a second. And we're back. I thought that my real microphone was better now because there was only one other person in the Skype call, but it turns out I guess I'm just gonna have to, burn these microphones that I got from Amazon.
Oof.
Oof. But hey, it's fine, I needed to upgrade the quality. But yeah, we were talking about basically nothing, so I think we could move on from nothing.
All right.
Wow.
The Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, it's a show that came out 5 days ago as of this recording or
And I
so.
am 4 episodes in.
I think
I'm
I'm like three or
on the
four.
fourth episode. I'm on the fourth episode. It's a perfectly fine show.
It's
It's
fun.
very Mablecore. It's very much like, ooh, yes, this is very me. It's like emo, gothy, weird superhero shit with a, yeah, like it's very me. There's something that needs to be talked about that, which of course is, I just want to, we have to say it. We need to talk about Klaus.
Which it took me like all of like the first three episodes to actually realize what the characters' names were, because I'm terrible at that. But Klaus, if you've been watching and you're like, is that like number six? It's the guy who wears the tight underwear and can talk to Ben.
Talk to dead people
Yeah.
specifically. Yeah. He,
So.
we have to talk about him because he's the one gay character in the show. And he's also the self-loathing suicidal drug addict.
Yeah, you can't have a stable gay person when just not possible.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Like, it'd be one thing if they had like more than one gay in the show. I wouldn't mind this. I actually kind of like his character. I do enjoy him as a character in the show, but like this is a actual problem, like harmful trope that comes with gay. Oftentimes in a lot of shows, like if they have a gay person, the gay person is like the broken person.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
It also plays into, which is kind of like a dead stereotype now, of like the one gay character being like almost strictly comic relief. And he is like a main part of the story, but he really only functions to quip awkwardly.
Yeah.
Which
And
is,
like,
yeah.
yeah, and like, I don't know, it's unfortunate because like I think the show's actually pretty good, but it is an unfortunate part of the show to have that with him, 'cause like also like it's very much like seriously, I know, I'm probably just repeating myself, but there are like a lot of things where like back in the day it was like, okay, you can show the gays, but you have to like make them. It was either tragic or also like show that they're living like a debauched lifestyle.
Yeah, that they constantly like are getting, some ass. I was trying to like think of like not dick.
Or like just constantly, like in this case, like just constantly high or suicidal or whatever. And like in his case, like, to be fair, I think the implication is he does these things not because he's gay, but because he can talk to dead people. Yeah. And he wants to shut up the dead people.
It's, they're two very different, like, storylines. Because, like, him being gay is, like, not really brought up. It's kind of like, it's like, you know, it shows up in moments, and it's all very, it's kind of like, and this is a terrible example, like, in Suicide Squad, where, like, they occasionally brought up that, that crazy guy loves the unicorns, and he, like...
Oh, that Captain Boomerang was a brony for some reason?
Yeah, like, they just, like, occasionally, like, sprinkles it in, and it's, like, this really doesn't, like, add, I mean, it's, like, interesting, I guess, but, like, they don't, you know, he's not the main character, and, it, you know, it's...
Yeah, and, like, also Klaus's gayness is very much in the vein of, look at how camp he is!
Yeah.
Like, look at how flamboyantly gay he is! He wears skirts, and he talks in this voice, and...
I mean, that's, like, I could give a general criticism of the show, like, as a whole, is that, like, it's really, like, cookie-cutter, and, like, there were... The whole first episode, I just had, like, so many problems with the dialogue of being like, oh, remember how long it's been? Remember when we used to do this? Remember when that? Remember when... No, I don't.
Okay, but that dance sequence, though.
That was the best part of the episode, and it showed, like, that really cool... They showed it in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, when they, like that half cut out of, like, the house.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I saw someone on Twitter, and I can't remember who they were, so apologies for not crediting this, but someone on Twitter called the show, I can't remember the exact way they put it, but they were like, it's like emo superhero Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
And that's, like, really accurate.
Really, really light Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, but, like, just, like, the general yeah. It's not, like, it's not, like, full Wes Anderson at all. It's much more, like, it's very much more My Chemical Romance, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it's based off the comic by Gerard Way. But, yeah, no, it's just, like, okay, that's one thing, though. The soundtrack to this show is fucking good.
It's really good, but, like, I feel like there are a few times where I'm like, it's, like, really, like, they just have to play the whole song for this sequence, or, like, two-thirds of the song, just because they paid for it, you know?
Look, they did an action sequence set to Istanbul to Constantinople, and that is amazing! The show, that one thing forgives any poor soundtrack choices ever again in the entire show, because that was fucking incredible.
It was definitely, like, the most interesting, like, action scene they had so far. Like, honestly, like, that number five is, like, any scene that he's in is, like, some of the best, and also,
how is, like
the
child, straight up, the child actor is the best actor in the show.
Yeah.
He's so good. Yeah, no, so far, but, like, it's just really crazy how good he is.
And he's, like, not even an actor. Like, I read, like, on Twitter that he was gonna be, like, watching the director direct something else, and then the director was like, hey, can you do this? And then he was just in the show.
He's so good, though!
Yeah. He's good at being a dry, sarcastic bitch.
Yeah, no, and I love it. Also, that's a spoiler, so I don't want to say it, but the weird romance story with him?
Yeah. That's...
What the fuck?
There's a lot of very weird romance.
Oh, yeah, there's some vaguely incesty stuff that's a little weird.
It's very Flash, which we talked about, like, a few episodes ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, when I was talking about how, like, I got mobbed by the fangirls.
Yeah. How dare you not like that Grant Gustin and whatever her name is are getting together. God. Insensitive.
Like, yeah, how dare you not like this thing that's happening, so you clearly lost already, but we're going to complain at you as if you have any power here. Like,
yeah. Maybe they think if they complain enough, they'll, like, the writers won't, like, revoke it with, like, some time travel bullshit.
But, like, this was clearly endgame from the start. Like, the writers aren't going to, like...
Yeah.
Anywho, that was, like, a tangent. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Umbrella Academy, pretty good show. A little bit problematic with its gay. Just saying.
Yeah. It's definitely, like... I don't know. It's a really interesting show for me to watch because I'm like, because I there's this term like that I've been seeing a lot where it's like you've been like YouTube poisoned, where like the only thing that you bring up is just like shit that you've seen on YouTube, and like the only like intellectual or like criticism you can muster is like based off of like what a YouTuber could say or like has said about like anything. And I like literally experience this all the time. Like there's a coworker I have who's like 11 years older than me, and they still are like, "Oh, isn't like Kazam like that terrible blah 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 movie?" And I'm like, "Is it 2011? Is Nostalgia Critic still on?" And like, but like I've been able to like, I don't know. I'm not just like watching a show. I'm kind of just like, oh, hey, that kind of sucked, or that was really interesting of them to do this and this, and not just be like, thing good.
Yeah, no, like that's something like that I've been trying to do too, like with like, you know, 'cause film stuff, and that's honestly, for me, what really stuck out for me with this show was its soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, I think the show has a really good, like you point out, that maybe they play the songs a little too long sometimes, but like, I think the choices are really smart.
No, definitely they are. Yeah. They had a really sick Holly song in one episode that was pretty rad. I
Yeah,
like all
'cause
the
like,
songs they pick.
it's like, it's the opposite of, okay, have you seen Atomic Blonde? Atomic Blonde has all the songs in it are great. They're just the most blatant, painfully obvious choice for every scene to the point that it hurts me.
Oof.
Like they have a cha they have the characters running away set to "And I Ran,"
Oh my
and
God.
like they're all period appropriate. Like they're all 80s songs because it's like set in the 1980s or whatever. And some of them are German because it's set in Germany. But like they're all used like again in the most painfully obvious ways. Like when a character gets off an airplane, they play Major Tom. When they're dealing with some German punks, 99 Red Balloons is playing because that's what the punks listen to. And like, it's just all so pain. When like a character is revealed to have been like a triple agent or whatever, she's in so deep, Under Pressure plays.
This is, yeah. And you like this movie?
I like this movie in spite of its flaws. I think it's a very flawed movie that has enough upsides that I enjoy it. I'm not saying it's a masterpiece. It has some clear, blatant flaws, namely, being, I don't think fully, I think being a little too convoluted for its own good, I don't think the, and two, the soundtrack being bad.
Yeah.
Like, the individual songs are fine, it's just how they're used is bad. Like, it was literally like when I was watching it, for the second time, I hadn't noticed the soundtrack so before, and I'm rewatching for the second time. And I'm kind of catching on to it, and then the "And I Ran" thing happened. I'm like, oh my God, no.
That's, yeah.
And that was when I was like, oh shit, nope, yep, they're just, yep.
Honestly, the only like good use of "I Ran" in a movie was like in La La Land, and that was like intentionally bad. Like, I don't think "I Ran" is like ever like a great like, oh shit, like something's gonna happen. We're gonna play "I Ran," you know?
Yeah. And like yeah, I don't know, like just Umbrella Academy I think has some really good cinematography and like direction for sure
Yeah, it's
too.
definitely like one of the like it has the beautiful Netflix look, you know?
Yeah, it has like it has a style. It is a good looking show. Like it knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
For sure. I think the set design and costume design is also really good. Like, for nailing its aesthetic. I don't know. I think it's a really, really, like, well shot, well designed show.
Yeah, it's definitely like very technically competent, despite the fact that like overall, I feel like the story is gonna be like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, no, fair. That's totally fair. Also, on the topic of Netflix originals, though, I watched Russian Doll.
Oh, I've heard this was like the coolest shit ever, but I have not given it the chance.
It's super good. Like, it's really good. I think every episode is directed by women, and the only people on the writing team are women.
Nice.
And it's like it has the so the lead is the lead from But I'm a Cheerleader.
Oh, yeah, because it's, she's also, like, a really mean lady in Orange is the New Black, right?
Yeah. And she's in it, and she's great. And the show is it's absolutely wonderful. It's 8 episodes. They're only like 25 minutes,
What the
so it's a
fuck?
real easy watch.
So is it, like, a mini-series, or is it, like, a...
Yeah, it's like a mini series, I'm pretty sure, because it ends pretty self-contained, so
Okay.
it's like really good. Like, it's absolutely worth a watch. Like, I'm not saying really anything about it, because it's a show I kind of think people should go into as blind as possible, because it's just fucking good.
All right, yeah. Well, I'll definitely give it like a watch because I watched an interview and like the clip was kind of like, ooh, this is like, people say it's good, it just like looks like, you know, drab and kind of boring. But
Yeah,
I don't
no,
know.
it's really good.
All right.
Like, I absolutely 100% recommend it. It is fucking good.
All right, everybody go watch it.
Yeah. No, seriously, please do. It's God, it's just really good.
Yeah. Well, that's good. God. Oh, you know what happened today
Oh, what?
in my life? So I work 2 shifts on like certain days of the week. And I go to 2 different schools. I go to like a different school in the morning that's like closer to like it's like really like a city school. Like it's like really compact and there's like 2 or 3 stories. It's a very interesting school to work at. And the other school I work at is like very like what you would think of when you think of like an elementary school. And this has nothing to do with the story, but I was working there. There's like these annoying group of fourth graders. The way the school works is like fourth graders is like the highest of the elementary school, and then like you move on to like a weird intermediary, like fifth and sixth grade school, and then you go to like junior high, which,
Gotcha.
yeah. So they're like top shit, and they're very like mean and like only in it to like make each other laugh, and just like, you know, fourth grade girls and like fourth grade kids in general.
Yeah.
And I kind of just, this is very weird. They were just like, oh, hey, like, here's a sticker. And they just like keep on, like, kept on putting like stickers on my hand and like covered like eventually my entire face with stickers. And I was like, I mean, hey, if it keeps you from not being in trouble. So I just had like 40 stickers on my, like, all on my hands and my face. And I just like went home after that. So that was my day.
Damn.
Yeah. There was even like as I like got in my car and like I drove like a block away, there was like a woman who like I could only see her eyes. Like she had like it was really cold that day, so she was like hood all the way up and everything. Her eyes are just like, what the fuck is wrong with your face? So, yeah. Interesting tidbit from my day. I'll definitely you know, put that in the well.
Fair.
Yeah. Honestly, nothing has happened in like the world. I mean, like politics, God, it's like, is it national emergency? No. I mean, it is, but it's not. Brexit, May, March 29th? March 29th.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Which, hey, you know, hopefully Northern Ireland doesn't die.
Yeah, and I might be going to the UK this summer. Oh God, no.
Bring lots of food.
Yeah, I saw that John Oliver segment too.
I, after like 4 bullet points of information, you were like, This is how we get our news now. We watch HBO videos.
Honestly, I'm fine with that. I don't like fuck people who are like, how dare you? It's like, well, I'm not going to fucking watch CNN.
I mean, like, I would definitely, there's no, like, cable news that is deserving of my time.
Exactly.
And it's like, I'm getting better at, like, only reading, like, the AP every day, and I'm just still, like, it's, like, just isn't, it's just not what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather somebody tell me an unfunny joke and then be like, this happened, and I'm like, okay.
Did you just say John Oliver tells unfunny jokes? How dare you?
I say that I don't laugh most of the time. But that's, like, a problem with, like, literally all of the political side projects that have existed. Like, I don't think I even watched any episodes of Michelle Wolf's show. But she was funny, you know.
I like Hasan Minhaj's new show on Netflix.
I need to give that, like, more time, too. Again, that's like, oh, it's on my list. But, like, God, that's, like, a show that's actually, you know, interesting.
It does the same thing with John Oliver, where he deep dives into, like, a single topic, which I really appreciate.
But it's very Hasan Minhaj, I'm a young, cool person vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. honestly, Hasan Minhaj has earned all benefit of the doubt purely for his what's that thing called? The correspondence dinner.
Oh yeah, no, he was really
purely
good.
Purely for his correspondence dinner, a single joke, which was, that's weird, I do not see Steve Bannon. I do not see Steve Bannon. Not see Steve Bannon.
Honestly, all, like, the correspondence dinners, I feel, like, really bad for, because it's almost like the Madden curse, because, like, everybody, like, besides Stephen Colbert, who's, like, done that, who's, like, been a Daily Show person, has, like, done a show, and, like, eventually their show has failed.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Hasan Minhaj's lasts.
Yeah.
Netflix at least signed him to 40 episodes or something like that to start, so.
Yeah. But, like, even, like, Larry Wilmore, his show was, like, yeah, great.
Okay, Larry Wilmore's show was fucking amazing, and I'm still bitter about its cancellation.
It was, yeah. God. What the fuck, TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been experiencing anything, or... Oh, I mean, this is kind of just, like, another inside baseball for the two additional listeners that we have, thanks to Blink-155. Two. We had 40 listeners, the episode with me and fucking Blink-155 gender studies. Like, that means... 22 people decided to listen to that and not anything else. Disgusting. But yeah, I, like, support the pod on Patreon, and they were like, hey, members of the secret cool, blah blah blah, the bored to death people, it's a song pun. They were like, hey, like, what song would you want to recommend? And I was like, hey, do the song Transvestite, which is a song that they don't have on any of their albums. It's, like, on, like, one of their demos, and I was like, yeah, do that one. And have me as a guest. Or the other people who are, like, more legitimately, you know, famous and, you know, important.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We're famous.
Yeah. We have a WordPress. You know how fucking hard that is?
I've literally created, like, WordPresses since I was, like, in high school. Basic WordPresses, it's not that hard.
I mean, I don't know how you press words. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, see, you get, like, you print out a bunch of words, and then you get an iron.
And then you call Steve Gutenberg, and you're like, so how long to the end of this joke?
Oh my god.
Oh, wait, you've been dead for how long? I don't know when the 12th century was, dude. But Bye-bye. He was 12th that century, right?
That seemed to go well. I have no fucking clue.
He was like 1300s. I'm pretty sure. I was in middle school recently. They told me, yeah, that shit happened.
All right, fair enough. I'll trust you on that, and I'll Google it later, because I just really don't care that much.
I do not care about the inventor of the computer, Steve Gutenberg.
You mean the inventor of the printing press?
In a roundabout way, he made the computer.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like how Mel Brooks produced Let It Go, except for he didn't, and it's just, like, points of connection. Wow. This is what happens when we just, like, don't have anything to say, huh?
Yeah, this is great. We're very professional here.
Yeah.
I could, Oh! Netflix is doing a Transformers animated series next year! And I'm very excited!
Good thing we don't know anything about it.
It's Transformers, The War for Cybertron trilogy, and it's aimed at older audiences. Yeah.
Okay.
It's aimed at older audiences, and it's a prequel. It's set, on Cybertron.
So it's not aimed for you.
But it's... Yes, fuck off. and it's not specifically, related to any of the previous canons, except maybe Power of the... I mean, the Prime Wars trilogy, but, like, also... The Prime Wars trilogy is probably best to be forgotten. So, anyways, it's a War for Cybertron trilogy. It's coming to Netflix. It's animated by Polygon Pictures. They're the people who did the really dumb Netflix Godzilla movies.
Those exist.
Yeah, they're like these anime movies. The animation is not the problem with them. The problem with them is that they're really stupid.
Well, I guess I need to watch those.
Basically, like, humankind comes back to Earth to after an apocalypse has happened, and Godzilla rules the Earth. And a group of human, like, fucking Power Ranger-ass dudes are like, we have to fight Godzilla to take back Earth for humanity!
Yeah, okay.
And it's co-produced by, so it's animated by Polygon Pictures, and it's co-produced, they say it's going to be in a different style from any past Transformers series, and it's co-produced by, I forget who the first one is, it's co-produced by someone, probably Allspark Productions or whatever, I don't know, and Rooster Teeth.
Wow.
But it's not animated by Rooster Teeth, thank God.
Yeah.
And we've seen three of the writing staff so far. They've all written, I think, past Transformers stuff, and they're all dudes, because of course.
So is it Gavin Free and the guy with the glasses? I listed one name from the fucking Rooster Teeth thing.
Oh, no, it's not, no, Rooster Teeth, all the writers, I don't think, no, but the writers, so like I said, the writers have done, like, one of them wrote for Transformers Cyberverse, one of them wrote for something else, I think the showrunner is actually from the Power of the Primes trilogy, which is, I mean, the Prime Wars trilogy, Power of the Primes was the third part of the Prime Wars trilogy, which is a little unfortunate, because the Prime Wars trilogy is kind of not great, except
like
for
problematic or something?
Oh, no, it's just not that good.
Oh, okay.
It has a really great take on Megatron, though, where he's just kind of a grumpy old man who wants to be left the fuck alone. He's just snarking at everyone, just like, I'm sick of your shit. It's great. Anyways, I'm still excited. I'm curious to see how it goes. Oh, and Hasbro officially confirmed Bumblebee is a reboot of the movie franchise, so we are done with the Bayverse. Thank fucking God. Thank Primus, thank Arceus, thank whatever deity you want to worship. This is amazing.
So, you're saying we can't get Shia LaBeouf back?
I hope not.
I want Shia LaBeouf to be like,
Bumblebee
2.
Here's the thing, the reason I say I hope not is Shia LaBeouf wants to be free of this. Let him be free of this.
if he directs the next one, it's gonna be like this moody character drama where Bumblebee like beats up his dad or something.
And where Shia LaBeouf plays his dad.
He is Bumblebee's dad.
Oh my god, Shia LaBeouf playing Bumblebee's... Okay, Transformers don't technically have fathers, and I think it's dumb when they do, but if they made a canon and they just decided Bumblebee had a father, if he was played by Shia LaBeouf, I would be okay with it.
I don't want to ask why they don't have dads, but like... Oh, because they don't procreate, obviously.
Yeah, they don't procreate.
But there's like... Is it like Avatar where there's like a big like plant vagina that like a robot vagina or like
what? No. So sparks are fused sparks. So there's like so their spark is like mixed with this liquid metal and it becomes they basically are born as adults.
Okay.
There's no such thing as Transformer children technically.
Just like deer.
Okay. They're born as fully formed adults. And, so it depends on the canon what their origin is. But yeah, most canons, outside of, I think, one of the comic book Generation 1 canons, there is no procreation. And one of the Transformers Generation 1 canons, they asexually budded.
So, like plants.
Yeah, but that's, like, one canon, and nobody really uses that. Anymore. That was like one, there was also some fan fiction that used it, but like only one official source ever really used that. Some of them, you don't see the origin. Some of them you do. It depends, but pretty much Transformers are never a sexual species. Transformers, there's technically like a fetal form of Transformers, if you want to call it that, which are protoforms, which is like the liquid metal and the spark not fully formed. But once they fuse together and fully form, then they're just an adult, and the protoform doesn't really move. So that's why I called it like the fetus form. They basically go from like fetus to adult.
But does the liquid metal have a heartbeat?
No, that's their spark. Their spark is basically their heart and their soul and, like, all that shit. It's Transformers are basically energy beings piloting giant robot bodies made of, created out of liquid metal.
Makes sense.
That was a weird tangent, but yeah.
I mean, it's important that the friends know, you know, because, I mean, like, that's another discussion we could have of, like, what do we call our listeners that aren't, clearly do not have enough mobilization or fandom to really warrant
earn a name. Yeah.
But, I mean, we could, you know, call them stupid if we wanted to. They don't exist.
The stupids.
Yeah,
hey, like, stupids!
It's like making fun of the Amish.
Wow, what the fuck?
Hey, Amish, you don't go on the computer, idiot. And they'll never know.
Oh my god. That's really problematic, Cam.
Why? What did the Amish do that was so holier than thou?
You're mocking a religion.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What about Mormons? Is that a religion?
No, Mormons are a cult.
Alright, so we're deleting the whole episode, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, yep.
That's fair. Yeah, god. We supposedly had a time crunch. But, and that's another Blink-155 reference, you know, you were your own Josiah, Mabel. You decided, and you were like, oh, we got this time crunch, and you're just like, let's just ramble about Transformers being born.
Hey, in my defense, I didn't say, let's do that, it just randomly happened 40 minutes into the episode.
Yes, okay, that's, okay, yeah, okay.
That was not my original intention.
Yeah, I'll put that in the episode notes.
Oh my god, we should just call the episode Not My Original Intention.
The words and ideas expressed in this episode have no correlation or causation to the actual words and opinions of Cammy and Mabel.
Oh no, no, I stand by everything I've said.
Oh, okay. I still stand by my Amish joke. If Weird Al can do it, and he's a clean little dude, I can do it.
That's an argument I can't super argue with. I hate you.
Also, you know what the meanest thing Weird Al has ever done?
What?
So, you know that song, like, "You're beautiful."
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he was, like, you know, gonna do a parody of that. And then, like, at the last second, like, Atlantic Records was just, "Yeah, nah, you can't do that. That's not cool. We don't want that ever. Please stop." And so, it's in his, like, white nerdy video where he, like, types into Wikipedia that Atlantic Records sucks, and he, like, wears Atlantic Records sucks shirts, like, when he sings that song in concert. So, that's the meanest thing Weird Al has ever done.
Was be a little bit petty.
Yeah, be a little mad that he didn't get to release a song for money.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, that's great. I honestly love Weird Al. I feel like we talked about Weird Al on our last podcast.
We probably did. Weird Al is just like such an evergreen.
I think we talked about Nirvana, and then Weird Al got brought up because Kurt Cobain was a fan of Weird Al.
Yeah, because I brought up Kurt Cobain's journals, and it was like, "Yo, Weird Al is like the shit."
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, because he is just like such a... You know, there's nothing, like, mean you could say about him besides, like, "Well, that one wasn't, like, as clever as, like, you know, Eat It." Which isn't saying much.
His more recent album from a few years ago, Mandatory Fun, was his best album, I thought, since, like, the early 2000s. Like, it was the best of, like, his last bunch of albums. It was really good.
Well, because he had, like, that... There was, like, a weird slump where, like, you know... His big single for Born This Way was just like, "Get it? I'm Lady Gaga." And everybody was like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
That's the joke?
Yeah. Also, on the note of music, can we talk about Weezer's midlife crisis?
I mean, honestly, we can. But that's... What the fuck? You and gender studies have, like, this obsession with Weezer that I do not get.
What don't you understand about Weezer?
I like the first two songs off of Ratitude, and like the Blue Album is pretty good. That's like, and then I'm like, yeah, and then Weezer is okay. It's kind of like if we all like obsessed about like the Bare Naked Ladies because they had like an emo album, and it's like, "Oh, dude, like the Bare Naked Ladies, that could be good again," and it's like, what?
Look, for the record, I actually, my caring of Weezer is entirely tied to a friend of mine's caring of Weezer.
Okay.
And, I can't think of a single song they've actually done that's an original song.
What?
Off the top of my head, no. Most of my association with Weezer at this point is, "Hey, they did that Africa cover with Weird Al." I associate them with Weird Al.
They only did it with Weird Al once. He showed up on stage.
Yeah, and in their music video.
Okay, but I don't think he's on record, you know? Like, I don't think he's credited.
No. No, he's not, and it's sad because that... Anyways, the point is, I want to talk about their weird midlife crisis.
Okay, that's fine.
Where they become a bunch of dads in a garage. Doing covers.
If you want me, because I can paint you a picture of the Weezer timeline. Because that's, you know, it's one of those terrible things about my brain is that I'm like, oh yeah, I spent way too long looking at Weezer stuff.
See, I was into that scene. I love pop punk and shit, but Weezer was never one of the bands I ever got super into.
Excuse
I was into
me,
a lot of their
call Weezer pop punk.
I'm saying I associate them with the era. Okay. But I never got into them. Excuse I was into that era of pop punk and alt rock and stuff. But Weezer was never one I got into.
They are power pop.
Whatever. I don't care.
Which is like the dumbest distinction.
Okay. But the point is, they have released an album that is all covers, and all of them are just mediocre covers. They're just, like, doing the song in the exact same style and not making it their own at all.
The Teal album, which...
Yeah.
Rather and, unfortunate. Just, like, the cover also looks really bad. They're all, like, shitty Miami Vicers.
Yeah. It's just, like, a really, like, a bunch of just, like, technically competent but uninteresting covers, and then a Billie Jean cover, and it's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I mean, hey. How dare you ruin that post-disco song?
Look, Billie Jean is a fucking masterpiece of music, and, like, y'all can fight me. And so, this pains me. It's bad. It's a bad cover.
It's a very interesting time to be into Weezer. Because they're, like, one of, like, the bands that, like, really... like, weirds me out is just, like, why they're, like, still, like, such a cultural thing, you know? Like, because, again, you had, like, the Blue Album, and you had Pinkerton, there was, like, alright, that's the only thing people are gonna care about. If you're really dumb and emo, you'll like Pinkerton, and you'll like the Hating Lesbian song, and if you're a, you know, normal person, you'll like the Blue Album and be like, all those pop hits are great. Alright, bye. But then they're like, wait, no, we have 6 more albums.
Oh my god.
Of music.
Oh, that's the thing. That's, okay, I just remembered what I always end up associating Weezer with. I always confuse them with the band Ween.
And Ween is totally different. That's not, like, I don't even...
Look, their names are similar. Leave me alone.
Gosh.
Look, I like Ween purely for the Ocean Man song on the SpongeBob soundtrack.
Because if you were about to say, I love Ween, I was like, oh man, so you love, like,
I love them
chocolate.
Literally ironically for that one song.
Because they're, like, I haven't gotten into them, but, like, in, like, music fandom, they're, like, a interesting band. Because they, like, their whole vibe is... let's just, like, switch, like, 18 genres, and, like, that'll be our album, you know? And they're, versatile.
I really like Ocean Man. It's a great song, and it's on the SpongeBob soundtrack, and I love it. And they also did this horrible song called, like, Push the Little Daisies or something, and it's the worst music video I've ever watched in my life.
And it's just, like, the most annoying, like, in-your-face, like, 90s voice. God, that song
It
sucks.
Hurts your ears. It literally hurts your ears.
Yeah. I think the only reason I like that song for, like, a hot minute when I was, like, 13, 14, and it's like, when you like, the Gummy Bear song when you're, like, 7. Yeah. But back to Weezer. Because, yeah, Weezer is, like... I never listened to the Green Album, which was, like, the big pop hit. Like, people who, like, oh, normie, or like, oh, yeah, I love Island in the Sun, or whatever. And, like, everything else, like, they have, like, an album that's just a picture of the guy who was in Lost, Hurley. I don't know why. They have an album called Death to False Metal, and it's just, like, a really elaborate, like, you know, like, 50s, like, kind of realistic... drawing, painting thing of, like, people working in a field, and that's just, like, it's just regular power pop. It's not, like, them trying to be death metal or whatever.
What the fuck?
And they, like... And then there's Beverly Hills, which is... everybody hates it. It's just, like, the most in-your-face, like, we're a pop band, and we're gonna fucking sacrifice everything to be a pop band. And then... people liked their last two albums because it was, like, them being, like, we're 40 and we're sad and we really like power pop, and that was it.
And now they're literally just dads doing covers in their garage.
Yeah. But then there's, now there's like 14 more days till the Black Album.
Oh my god. Also, speaking of sad dads and music, how about that upcoming movie about, like, what if the Beatles? Everyone forgot about the Beatles. Couldn't you become famous on doing their music today? It's like, the Beatles worked, like, no offense to the Beatles, but I don't think the Beatles exactly somehow suddenly would be just as, considered just as good if they came out now.
Yeah, there's not, like, something, like, I mean, I will, okay, because a friend of mine, like, texted me about this, and I hadn't seen the trailer, and I totally lied, and I was just like, yeah, that sounds fucking dumb, blah, 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 blah. God, it was so dumb. And then I watch it, and, like, I think it's just, like, the hormones hitting me, but I was just like, I got caught up in the moment, and I was like, oh, he's such a sweet guy, he, like, really just deserves all of it. And, like,
oh my god!
You know, like, as, like, a Beatles, like, person, I think I've told this on the pod, but I had, like, a two-year ban. I'm banning myself from listening to the Beatles until 2021 because I'm like, I need to stop, like, listening to just, like, the same, like, four albums over and over and over again. But, like, just, like, him singing Something, which is, like, that part where he's, like, in James Corden's show, and, like, that song is still, like, really beautiful, but it only would have worked in, like, 1969.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's my problem. It's not that their music isn't still good. It's that their music wouldn't still be, like, wouldn't push you to the top of stardom now in this period of time.
Yeah.
Because things change.
Especially, like, there's, like, that part where, like, he's singing I Wanna Hold Your Hand, and I'm like, are you sure that that's, like, that should be in your trailer? Because, like, nobody could give a shit less about I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
Yeah!
Like, people, like, there's literally top 40 songs about, like, eating ass, you know? Like,
yeah,
we have reached the next level, Paul McCartney. Yeah.
No, it's weird. Like, it just doesn't work, like, as a like, the Beatles would, like, I mean, that's the thing. You have to suspend your disbelief, and I'm actually still interested in seeing it. I think it could be a pretty good movie. But I just want to be a pedantic nerd for a bit and just be like, this wouldn't work!
Well, it's also, like, because there's, in, like, music nerd, like, forums, there's, like, a quote from this guy who says, oh, it's so, like, how dare people still insinuate that the Beatles are one of the greatest musical acts of all time. Like, their music is shitty pop, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's all true. And, like, I also think that it's weird that music from the 60s would not work now, because, like, the lyrics are just, it's a whole thing. But if the Beatles weren't around and it was like, oh, there's only, like, the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones, like, I don't think there would be Coldplay, you know?
Yeah.
There, like, none of, like, the music that we have now is, like,
I mean, to be fair, is Coldplay that big of a loss?
No. But, like, they bring it up in a trailer, and I'm like, as, like, somebody who, like, you know, was just looking up today, like, reminding myself about, like, Phil Spector and, like, you know, how he changed, like, music production, I'm like, there's no way Coldplay could be a band. Or, you know, literally half of, like, 70s pop rock up until, like, literally, like, now, like, it just would not be possible.
So many bands would not exist. Hell, I think also, like, if the Beatles didn't get popular, British music would have totally changed, and I don't think it would have been as big as, like, straight up, I don't know if the Smiths get as big as they were without the Beatles opening up British music to America.
Yeah, there wouldn't even, like, be Oasis. I know that's, like, 10 years later, but, like, yeah. Oasis was literally just, like, the Beatles, but louder, you know?
Yeah. Like,
It's a very, like, troubling concept. And I don't, it, like, it makes me, like, flick on, like, that shitty, like, CinemaSins brain where I'm just like,
yeah.
But it's,
yeah,
like,
that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to, like, that's my thing. Like, I want to get this pedantic stuff out of the way because it's fun to be pedantic about this concept. But it's still a movie I want to see, and and as you do with movies, you suspend your disbelief and buy into their world.
Yeah.
And as long as it doesn't break its own internal logic, it's fine. Who cares? Movies don't have to be realistic. But I still want to be a pedantic nerd about it for fun. So that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah. I just watched last night after like between watching Umbrella Academy, I finally watched Ant-Man the Wasp, and
Oh, okay, that's actually one of my favorite MCU films.
interesting. It was okay to me. But
My
like
re my
no, you
oh,
go.
sorry.
Go.
My reasoning for it being one of my favorites is, okay, the San Francisco chase scene is one of the best action set pieces in the entire MCU because it's actually distinct.
Oh yeah. No, it was like probably like the most interesting story for like a lot of them, but I still was just kind of like,
And
"Eh,
like
Paul Rudd."
the villains are pretty atypical of a Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's definitely not just like the hero but bad. It is like the hero but bad, but it's like there's a very interesting story.
Yeah, and there's like two main villains and they're both interesting. And like also like honestly, I think Scott Lang is great because he fills that hole in my heart where there's no adult Peter Parker. He's the adult Peter Parker. He's
Yeah.
a lovable dork just trying to do his best. And I love that. Like he's a genuinely good person. Like something I love is they didn't even do the trope of the ex hates his ex-wife's new boyfriend and they bicker. Like they're actually like friends.
Yeah.
And
They're
it's
like,
adorable.
it's very strange, the relationship, because I don't really remember like the first movie. It was okay, but I feel like there was like some weird. Isn't that the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond? No, it's not.
No, it's not. I don't
Okay.
think so, no.
Again, all tall people look the same, I guess. I don't know. All tall people with big eyes look the same to me. But like, yeah, they're not like friends, but they're like definitely cool. And like the ex-wife is like, "How dare you like mistreat my husband," to the FBI the whole time, and it's like, this is really nice, but like, wouldn't
Yeah.
you be like pissed? I mean, like, if I was a wife and I didn't really understand the situation of like being Ant-Man, I'd be like, yeah, no, you're probably kind of a piece of shit, Scott. You
Well, I
know?
mean, that's the thing. He's her ex. He's not even her husband.
Yeah.
I love it though. Like, I think it's great and like cute. And also, she knows he's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like, I think the whole thing is just really cute and refreshing among all the other Marvel movies. That's why it's one of my favorites because it's just refreshing. It's just nice. It's just nice, like really sweet-hearted and like nice and. It's not mean-spirited, and it's not about, like, saving the whole world, and everything's gonna die. It's just kind of this sweet personal story. And I think that's something that a lot of the MCU has missed.
Oh yeah. It was definitely like it was watchable and it was good, but it was like it's one of the better MCU films, but I'm still like, "Gah, the MCU." Like I just like I put it off for so long 'cause I was just like, "God, we're gonna have to fucking I'm excited for Captain Marvel, but I'm like, we're gonna have to fucking watch that and
Also, it has the dad from Fresh Off the Boat as a dopey parole officer.
He's like the best
And
part of the
that's
movie.
amazing. The part where he's like he Scott asks if like, "Wait, are you trying to ask me to dinner?" He's like, "Well, no. Wait, do you want to go to dinner?" And Scott's like, "No, man." He's like, "Oh, okay." And when he asks him to teach him how he does the magic tricks.
That's like, oh my gosh, yeah. There are like
Oh,
really good little touches.
my favorite thing, there's a meme where it's like the MCU's greatest sorcerers, and it's Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, Loki, and Scott Lang, and it goes, "Yeah, but only one of them survived Thanos," which is Scott Lang.
Yeah.
Oh, and the picture they use is the one of the cards falling out of his mouth, and it looks so dumb.
Yeah. I guess I did like that movie. It was just like, I don't know. I'm still in like the I'm just so tired of movie, you know?
That's fair. Honestly, I'm reaching that point. Captain Marvel is doing that to me right now. Like, I've watched the trailers, and every time I watch the trailers, I'm like, I feel nothing. It looks like every other movie.
Yeah, we've had too much, and like I like Carol Danvers, cool gay
Yeah!
superhero, but I'm
I
just
mean, she's
like,
not gay, but.
didn't she just come out?
What? No?
Yeah, I think she did. At least a new blonde Ms. or Captain Marvel came out.
Marvel gay?
I follow one like lesbian Marvel Comics fan on Twitter, and she posted like a page of like Carol Danvers being like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I was like a shitty girlfriend to you. I just didn't know I was gay."
She's not gay. That's edited.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm gonna beat up that person. Via Twitter. I'll just send, like, some fist emojis and be like, you lied to me. So, catch that on my Twitter at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, hey, we get a... She's like...
It really sucks that we've reached this point. Like, Marvel should have had a lady superhero sooner, because I hate that this is when I finally... When the Marvel fatigue finally sets in, it's when we're about to get the first woman-led one. I hate that.
It's like... That's cool in and of itself, but it's also just like, and it's set in the 80s, and it's like super...
90s, cool. It's set in the 90s. It's
fucking... Stop making movies.
It's Marvel. Set in the pop culture black hole of the 90s.
Hey, they got... Their music was good.
Their music was good in, like, a couple of genres.
In, like, really obscure rock, and then...
Yeah!
Everything else was like, well, okay. Anyways. Yeah, God. And it's just, And it's just like, you know, people are like still giving a shit about like, oh man, like fucking Thanos. And I'm like, they've already shown their hand. If they're gonna fucking leave Ant-Man inside the fucking cosmic blah 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 zone, spoilers, and then have the fucking people turn to ash, you know by the end of Avengers Endgame they're gonna and then become
I really liked Infinity War. I thought it was really good.
That's good.
But yeah, no, like, totally, like, that's going to happen, but I think the journey is more important than, like, yeah, I know where it's going, but if they do it well, they do it well. And, like, I'm going to see those movies in theaters. It's just, like, the excitement isn't there anymore like it used to be. Like, I think the last trailer, like, okay, that's the thing, too. MCU trailers, because all the movies look the same, do nothing.
Nothing.
They do nothing for me. Nothing. Thor Ragnarok did, because it looked different. Black Panther, I was excited for because I knew the talent going in, less the trailers. Like, the trailer, Marvel trailers, because you don't get as much of the story, you know, in a fucking trailer. So you mostly get visuals, and that's what's killing this Captain Marvel hype for me, is, like, it's the trailers. And it just looks like every other Marvel movie. Can they please stop with the house style? Like, look, give DC shit all you want for so many things, and rightfully so. But at least they let their directors make movies that look like that director's movie.
Yeah.
Like, say what you will, but they let Zack Snyder make Zack Snyder movies, and they let Patty Jenkins make a movie that looked different from those, and they let James Wan make a movie that looks different from that, and they let Shazam make the guy who's making Shazam make a movie that looks different from that. Like, their movies still feel connected in a way, but they look distinct. I'm so sick of Marvel's house style. Your movies don't all have to look the same.
Honestly, I really can't wait for, like, when... Because this happened, again, like, fucking... A bunch of other smarter film people than me will bring this up, but, like, when Westerns died, and, like, when, like, big, like, Hollywood, like, fanfare shit died in, like, the 70s, it just, like, made, like, all these, like, really, like, angry, like, transgressive, like, oh, man, we're just gonna be, like, really shitty and, like, re-transform cinema again for, like, you know, Star Wars and, like, fucking Jaws and everything. I can't wait for when just, like, the Marvel movies, like, crumble.
And like, then we can like get a bunch of aggressive people make it, yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
no.
God, I just want...
Look, movies. The fact that the thing is, we got Sorry to Bother You last year. We're heading there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting to that type of movie making again, and I want it so bad. But yeah, no, like, the other thing that bothers me, too, besides the house style, is, look, I think Marvel movies have ruined action movies.
They totally have.
Their action is nothingness. That's another reason Ant-Man and the Wasp was such a refreshing change of pace. That chase sequence feels like a legitimately unique piece of action.
And also, like, every, like, I was feeling this at, like, the final action scene of Ant-Man and the Wasp, where, like, they're fighting, and, like, when it's, like, not them shrinking and, like, unshrinking and all that, like, the fight is really slow, and it's really just, like, they're not, like, good fighters. And that's so cool, but it was, like, unsatisfying, and I was like, this is not just kick somebody 20 feet in the air, kick them 20 feet in the air, and then just, like, punch fest.
Yeah, no, like, I'm tired of Marvel action sequences because they're just hectic and you lose so much. Okay, one of the few pieces of, Avengers Infinity War, I like it, I do like it. The action is pretty weightless for most of it and that hurts it. There is exactly one piece of action in that movie, and sorry, spoilers, that is good. And it is in a larger fight, which is the scene where Iron Man, like, goes through 20 moves just to get a drop of blood from Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Because that felt raw, and that felt desperate, and, like, it was very deliberate and specific, and that was good, but all the rest of that fight is just flinging all this shit going around because there's too much going on.
Yeah. And I'm, like, glad that, like, you know, you paid 1,000 people to work 800 fucking hours to, you know, get, like, the hundreds of billions of pixels, like, moving just the right way, but it's just, who cares?
I'm sick of quick cuts. I'm sick of shaky cam. I'm sick of all this. Look at John Wick. It makes the action in these movies look good. And then look at The Raid, which makes the action in John Wick look bad. Like, can we please get good action scenes? Please, like, say what you will about, like, you know why the Matrix action scenes, like the first ones specifically, the first Matrix action scenes fucking hold up?
Because they're edgy.
Because they hired actual fucking real stunt guys who knew what they were fucking doing, like real fighters, to coordinate that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they look good. The fight scenes in the first Matrix still look good.
And then
you look at a Marvel movie and it's like, this is nothing. Nothing is happening right now. I'm just watching a bunch of CGI puppets fly around weightlessly and do nothing.
Yeah. It's so, like, unfortunate, because, like, you can draw, like, a direct line from, like, you know, where we were 10 years ago to where we are now, but, like, it's still so insane to think that, like, only 10 years ago we had movies like Spider-Man 3, which is not, like, a great movie, but it's just, like, people were thinking that was too complicated because they were, like, you know, an underdeveloped villain. But you really could, like, feel what was going on throughout that entire film.
Yeah, no, like, I'm never going to defend Spider-Man 3, but, like, I miss the days when messy films like that happened.
Yeah.
Can we have messy films that try to do stuff? Can we stop? Like, Marvel is just so safe. It's why I love The Last Jedi, and it's why J.J. Abrams as a filmmaker bothers me. Like, Force Awakens is a good movie. It's still one of my favorite Star Wars movies because I like the characters, but it is a safe movie. The Last Jedi is a great, interesting, risk-taking movie with that franchise.
Yeah.
And I want that shit. Nobody takes these risks anymore, and it's so frustrating. And also, it's like, all we get is... Disney now owns everything. I'm sorry, I'm going into full film rant mode. I'm so tired.
It's totally fine. And it's also, like... It's a very interesting argument that gets brought up when people talk about Star Wars, because, you know, as say what you will about, like, you know, the prequels, but they were still, like, very visually interesting. They were, like, the CGI, like, weird mess, but they were still, like... competent
films. Say what you will about them, they're not safe.
Yeah, they're very interesting, competent movies that, like,
I mean, okay, Attack of the Clones notwithstanding, Attack of the Clones I feel like doesn't work in a lot more ways than the other two.
It's like the plot gets in the way of, like, literally everything in that movie. But yeah, like, 1 and 3 is, like, you could, like, reframe, like, both those movies and make them, like, essentially perfect.
Yeah, that's my thing. I will always appreciate a mess that you can see what it was going for more than a technically competent but overall just kind of that happened movie. Like, that's why I love the Wachowskis. A lot of their work is not great, but it is ambitious in interesting ways. It is unique. It has a thing that they are trying to say. And I love that. Also, though, Speed Racer and the first Matrix are masterpieces. Fair. All the rest of their films are kind of messes. Even Sense8, their TV show, which I think is their best thing since Speed Racer, is kind of a mess. But it's a mess in a very interesting way and a more competent way than some of their other stuff. But, like, even their worst work is interesting. Yeah. And I'd prefer a million more of those to, like, 20 more bland Marvel movies.
But isn't that, like, again, that's, like, the catch-22-ness about art? Because, you know, you brought up earlier that, like, oh, you're bored. You're bored by these trailers. And, like, I totally agree with that. But, like, spoilers for the new H-Bomber Guy video, but he brings up this whole thing of, like, you know, the reason why, like, advertising changed in the last 10, 20 years because we DVR'd shit. And we skipped through commercials, and we got ad blocks. So now the reason why we have fucking in-your-face, surrealist, and I'm gonna put, like, the biggest scare quotes on that ever, for our ads and for our personality Sunny D's, is because they need to get our attention. And they're not getting our attention because we are starting to realize that all of this is bullshit. There's no way, like, this is, like, a whole other kind of conversation, but just, like, with, like, Twitter and social media in general, like, there is going to be a larger and larger contingent of people who are just like, this is bullshit. We don't need to be fucking, like, force-fed all this garbage in such a stupid way. Stop pandering to us.
And see, that's exciting to me, because that means we're heading somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. Like, again, I thought, sorry to bother you. So last year, there were some really good movies.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to Bother You, Assassination Nation. Like,
wait, was Assassination Nation like the I'm Gonna Kill the Neighbor movie?
Assassination Nation is the one where, like, a hacker leaks a bunch of stuff and the town goes crazy and these four girls have to, like, try to survive.
Right.
When the town turns against them. And the town is literally named Salem because the movie has no idea how to be subtle.
Yeah.
It's, those two movies in particular, those are like the first two that come to my mind, are subversive and interesting and doing cool shit. And like, please, do more cool shit. Do more interesting, cool shit that has something to say, that means something to you. Please.
Yeah. Like, God.
Blood. I'm at the point where it's just like, that's what I want from fucking movies. Like, do that shit, please.
Yeah.
Like, I'll still see the big movie studio stuff. Some of it is good, some of it's not. I'll still see it, because I like it too. But, so yeah, I guess I'm also still part of the problem. But whatever, like, I like movies. But I want this new shit. I want more stuff like Sorry to Bother You, like Get Out, like Assassination Nation. Fuck. Come on.
This isn't an insult, but in that one moment, you're just like, yeah, I know, I'm gonna see it anyways. It's like every film critic on YouTube ever who's like, so I saw this garbage and it was garbage. Yeah, so I contributed to that.
I mean, to be fair, I try to avoid movies that I don't think will be that good. I just, like, there is a certain level of, like, here's the thing. If I go to see a Marvel movie, it may not be the best thing I've ever seen, but I've never gone to a Marvel movie and been like, well, that sucked. Because I didn't see Thor 2 in theaters, so no.
Okay.
That's my point. I don't go see shit in theaters that I know I'm gonna not like.
How'd you know?
Because the first Thor sucked.
It's good.
The only reason I saw Ragnarok was because, like, oh, it's Taika Waititi. Yes, give it to me now.
Right.
But yeah, no, like, And, like, with studio movies, I also just meant, like, I will continue to see studio movies. I didn't mean every studio movie. It's just that there are always going to be studio movies that I appreciate.
Yeah.
That I like. Like, I just saw the Lego Movie 2. That was fucking great. Like, Lego Movie 2 was fucking great. I actually think it's pretty much just as good as the original.
I know I'm not going to catch that one.
What?
I know I'm not going to catch that one. Probably ever.
All right.
nothing against it. I'm just kind of like, eh, gosh. Chris Pratt is good. Chris Pratt again. And there's another Chris Pratt.
Yeah. It's real good, though. Also, on the note, because I'm reminded of our Twitter topic, I want to talk about Deadpool 2 for a second.
God, we didn't even finish this because I was just, like, so tired.
Deadpool 2, okay, so Deadpool 1 is fine. It's fine. It's a movie. It happened. Deadpool 2 is fucking great. Deadpool 2 is a mess, and I love it for that. It is a movie with way too much ambition and weird shit it's doing, and it's all great. And, like, one of the things it does that I think is really interesting is it Deadpool is the main character, but he's not the main plot. Deadpool is, like, bumping... He's a chaotic wrecking ball thrown into the Cable and the kids plot. And he learns a lesson, too, but it's still about them, and I think that's really good, because I think Deadpool works in that context, where he's just this weird Looney Tune fucking everyone else's shit up. And it's a movie... It's one of the few X-Men movies that has ever explicitly said, yeah, no, fuck the police.
Gosh.
Like, it's one of the few X-Men movies that's like, no, fucking kill your oppressors, fuck. Like, they even have a parody at the end of, oh, we've learned the lesson, we're better than them. We're better than them because we don't kill. But it all leads to them killing them anyways, and that's the joke. Like, no, fuck that shit. We're still gonna fucking murder his ass. Like, it's great. Like, I love that movie. I fucking love Deadpool 2. It's a movie I'm going to buy at some point. Because, like, I have not bought Deadpool 1. I will never buy Deadpool 1. It's a movie that came and went for me. But Deadpool 2 is fucking good! It's not perfect. It's a mess in a lot of ways, but it's such a good mess!
For me, it's like, yeah, like, all those parts were good. But it's like, I don't know if it's the Marvel or the superhero fatigue or just like the, God, are we just gonna fucking like do this shit until we die thing? But just like, God, like, yeah, Deadpool is like this annoying, funny, he's funny sometimes, like, thing. And, you know, it was cool seeing Terry Crews for 5 seconds. That was like pretty clever. I like that bit. And, like, the action was alright, and I was just like, God, like, the kid fucking sucks. I'm like, I never...
How dare you, that kid is great!
No, he's like, every shitty, like, all the sons of all the mobsters and the Sopranos, like, combined, where it's just, like, this shitty, like, annoying prick who's like, yeah, you kinda like him, and I'm just like, fucking...
I loved that kid.
Oof. I don't even remember anything about him. He was, like, annoying and mean.
He was just... He was literally stuck in a like, literally a gay... a mutant conversion camp.
Yeah.
And he was bitter and angry because of that. He had every right to be.
Of course. Yeah. I don't know. I was just... I don't know. I think I'm just, like, not interested. Like, it doesn't hold my attention anymore. Like, I'm just... Bleh. It's nothing... Like, I don't know. It's... I've realized this as I've gotten older. Like, it's just like, you know, 90% of shit that, like, people are like, ha ha ha, that's great. I'm just kind of like, yeah, well... They really tried to make a joke there.
I mean, like, the humor in Deadpool 2 is not the best. It wasn't in 1 either. I like it, like I said, I think it's good because of some of its thematic messages, the way it uses Deadpool.
There are parts of it that are, like very interesting. But just, like, on the whole, I just, you know, It's gonna be a no for me, dog. Is that what the guy says?
It's gonna be a no from me, dog.
That's right. Okay. Any other American Idol references we can put in this? Oh, yo, I heard you like Deadpool, so we put your Deadpool in your Deadpool in your dead. When does the Los Harrow podcast start? When does that start? We got all night.
No
huh?
idea.
Okay.
I think
listen to that. Don't listen to that. Only listen to our show.
Yeah. Don't kill me, Arlen.
You won't listen to this.
That's fair. I think we covered a lot. I think this was pretty good.
Yeah. It's also great because it was like, you were like, hey, can we only do an hour? And then it's like, oh, actually, we're going to do a little bit over an hour.
No. Oh.
So, yeah, I think we've reached the extent of our complaining. Next week, we will have another Blink-155 member. And then next week after that, we will have a very special guest, somebody who is beloved by lots of people in our friend group, apparently. I haven't talked to this person that much, but they are very nice, apparently.
You're talking about who? Do you want to say the name so I can make sure we're thinking the same person?
I mean, I think it's the person who I didn't want to intrude.
No, I like him. He's cool.
Okay. Because I have, like, never talked to him. Like, maybe, like, once or twice.
I'm going to end up probably giving him shit about Hal Jordan at some point.
Hey, that's fine. I mean,
actually, I'm gonna try not to because I think actually Hal Jordan means a lot to him, and I don't want to be a dick about it. But it was something we had a few arguments back in the day about. So
back in the day, oh man, but yeah, very very interesting. We are becoming a podcast with guests.
Yeah, and half of them end up from Blink-155 until this is eventually just a Blink-155 podcast, and that'll be weird.
It'll be so weird, even, like, after the show will end, because there's only going to be 155 episodes. Like, it'll be, like, 4 years from now, and they're still like, oh, we should get the audio critic on. Oh, my God. But, yeah, this is one of many things that are on the losharrow.wordpress.com.
Oh, man, I missed. When you said this is, I was going to go, this is the story of a girl.
You cried a river and drowned the whole world. That song is so sick. Oh my god. One of the best pop punk songs ever. Anyways, yeah, this is one of the many things. And again, if you hear any other podcast say it, I coined the, this is not the only thing that happens on losharrow.wordpress.com. People did not cite the website before I did. That was my thing.
You're a real, like, inventor. I couldn't think of the word I was going for.
You're a real coiner of ideas.
Yeah.
That's totally
the innovator. Point. You're a real innovator. That was what I was going for.
How dare you compare me to Elon Musk?
I literally thought of the same thing right after I said it.
Okay. Yeah, Elon Musk here telling you to go on a website that I've already said twice. There are articles on there. Our third mysterious co-host, Tayo, writes many comic book articles. He was even featured on the back of a comic book once. He got, like, a quote pulled, which is rad. So, we're working our way up. And, as always, you can find me on Twitter at Cammie, J-Cam, C-A-M-M-I-E, J-Cam. Figure that out. I have that other podcast, One Note Interviews, where there's only two episodes up. It's eventually going to have Stephanie on when I give myself the time to
Mabel! Although it'll say Stephanie in the podcast.
Yeah, you'll say Stephanie on there. I was thinking, like, fourth dimensionally. But yeah, Mabel will be on the podcast as herself, but also in the past. Listen to Blink-155. It's good. And follow all of my secret accounts that I can't disclose who I am on Twitter yet. What do you have to promote besides your Twitter? I mean, say your Twitter.
So my Twitter, which is film_Haven, HEVEN. That's basically it right now. I'm still working on some other stuff that I'm trying to put together. So I should have some stuff within the next month or so that I'll actually have to promote. So.
Rad. Oh, yeah, because your YouTube channel is going to be happening.
Yeah, it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be a thing. We'll see how it goes. It's happening. We just, you know, quality-wise, you know, I'm new to this shit.
We're
leave me alone.
Hey.
Yeah.
YouTube is literally garbage planet, so if it's garbage, it's garbage.
All right, then.
All right, well.
Perfect way to end this off.
Yeah, with trash straight into your mouth. Anyways, this has been, get it? It's an untitled, it's an untitled podcast. Podcast, and please keep listening for a few more.